You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm Mike Haggerty, filling in this week for Vicki Gonzalez. We here in California know a thing or two about responding to disasters. It's unfortunate, but we have had our fair share, maybe more, over the years. And now California is stepping up to help out our brothers and sisters in Maui. As we mentioned at the top of this program, the official death toll in Hawaii is now 96, and that surpasses the campfire of 2018 here in California. The death toll across the ocean will climb even higher, says Hawaii's governor, as the recovery effort is just starting to get underway. Brian Ferguson, who handles crisis communications with the Department of Emergency Services, is here with me in studio to talk about the California response to help Hawaii. Brian, thanks for coming in.
Happy to be here. Good morning.
Good morning. So, what is the most immediate need in Hawaii right now in terms of help from California and other states?
Yeah, as you mentioned in your open, this is something that unfortunately we've gotten very good at in California in recent years. And so to be able to extend that support is something we absolutely want to do to our neighbors in Hawaii. And, you know, really what we are right now is a recovery mission, a mission to help this community get back on its feet quickly. And, you know, we have a lot of practice at the steps that goes into it. And so we actually have fire and rescue personnel on the ground, experts in mass casualty incidents, highly specialized search and rescue folks who are working really closely with the officials in Hawaii to help walk them through the process of what it processing a scene, identifying the bodies, and hopefully bringing some closure to the family so they can have a better idea of what happened to their loved ones and help the community move on as quickly as possible.
Other than those things you mentioned, are there other things that Governor Newsom has ordered be sent to Maui?
You know, we've been in a conversation with them since the very beginning. Governor Newsom talked to Governor Green in Hawaii the night of. And it's probably one of those conversations that we're going to continue to work with them. Over the weekend, we sent debris management specialists of what does it take to move all of this ash, this environmentally sensitive materials out so you can rebuild. And so we sent another team of four folks this weekend, and we continue to talk to them. There's a possibility that we could send additional CAL FIRE personnel to help manage an incident. These are very complex, large incidents that, you know, isn't just the immediate fire, that they're going to have to manage this incident for months to come. And, you know, we have a lot of personnel. We're blessed with some of the most highly trained folks in the world here in California, and a lot of them. And our fire season has not really started yet, so we do have a good capacity to help. And, you know, we're going to continue to talk to them of what is the process, what are the gaps, and how can we help fill that for the people who need it.
Talk to us about some of the work that the urban search and rescue teams do and the specialized training that they have.
Yeah, so these are folks that get deployed all over the world. You often see them in building collapses or hurricanes where we're going through and in a complex scene where there's, you know, everything's melted in some ways. And so they're going through with tools, with cadaver dogs, with, you know, really highly trained scientists and actually working through a scene to understand here's where people might have sheltered. Maybe we can find people over here. At the very beginning, they're actually looking for survivors. And so these are folks who work through a crisis scene, provide expertise, and ultimately move that scene so we can identify the remains and get people out as quickly as possible and, you know, help, you know, the things you're seeing, these daily updates on number of people missing, number of people reconnected with their families. Those are the kind of things we help do with the community so they can move on.
There are the occasional miracle stories, but by and large, there is a limit to human survival. There is a point on the calendar past which it really transforms from a rescue mission to a recovery mission, isn't it?
That's absolutely correctly. And tragically, that's probably where we are for the vast majority of folks. You know, there is a lot of confusion that happens in an incident like this. And so I think saw a number of over 1,000 people missing. You know, the chances are most of those folks are actually just haven't reconnected with their loved ones. But people who are in the immediate vicinity who weren't able to get out, you know, at this point it is trying to identify folks using, you know, complex DNA matching, using dental records, and trying to use that specialized training that we have here to lend that support to the people of Hawaii.
What's life like for people who work in that role, rescue and recovery, when they get on a plane to go help? Do they have any idea when they'll be coming home?
You know, these are people who live for these moments, and why it's a tragedy. You know, we are at our best when some other people are at their worst, and we want to bring that support to them. And it's really the most direct form of public service you can provide of people who run towards the fire, who hop on a plane in a time of crisis, and you know, do try to support them, mental health counseling, all the types of support we can provide. But these are folks who live for this, who they're driven by, and that we in California have invested to get them ready to do this exact thing, which is support communities during times of crisis and really move people to be safer and, you know, help bring an incident in a way that's going to support this community and the broader recovery effort, because it's not just today, but it's going to be for months to come.
It's what you've given me here is valuable insight, but it didn't answer the question, which is when they get on that plane to go to Hawaii, do they have any idea when they'll be home?
No, they'll stay for as long as they need to. And so they'll be part of the incident management team that's run by the local Hawaii officials. If they can process a scene quickly, they'll do that as quickly as possible. And sometimes you get there and you find complexities that you may not know about. And so I think the short answer is they'll stay for as long as they're needed. And then we'll, you know, continue to work through additional personnel to fill that need.
And these people, we should emphasize, are not checking into a luxury resort. They're going into a disaster zone. They're living in the same conditions as the people they're trying to help while they're there.
Absolutely. They'll be part of the community. In most cases, they'll be in a fire camp, sleeping on cots, just like everyone else. And this isn't something we do for comfort. This is something that we do because it helps the community. And people who do this are strongly driven to provide that support and aid in a time of crisis. And we're happy as Californians to be able to provide that support, because we so often in the past have received aid from all across this country when we've had tragedies and crises. And, you know, it's part of our duty. It's part of the one of the things the governor emphasizes is bringing that same support to others in their time of need.
Brian, you mentioned something a second ago that I want to come back and spend a little more time on. And that is that the people who rush to help, the folks that we're sending over there, whether it's here in California or across the ocean in Maui, those people see things that most of us, please God, never will. What kind of help do we have for them once they come home?
You know, this is one of the biggest growth areas we've seen in disaster management and crises in the last couple of years, both on firefighters, law enforcement personnel, because as these disasters become more frequent and more severe, the type of work is longer in duration and more challenging. And so there's been really significant investments in mental health counseling. Peer support is something that we're very big on. And that's actually one of the things we're going to be lending the people of Hawaii as well is, you know, you're not in it alone. What can we learn and bring to you, which is that you don't have to do this by yourself, that there's others, not just California, but all across this country that can support them, because that helps build a sense of community and helps them get through it, because everyone says they're good in the moment when we call them, because oftentimes we talk to other states, but a week, 2 weeks in, a month, and this could be 6 or 8 months before this incident's really settled down. And so it's here for them, not just now, but for the long term.
The very real fact is that these people take on trauma in order to ease the trauma of others.
That's absolutely right. I mean, we're nearly 5 years on from the campfire, and a lot of that work is still ongoing today. And so we're all too familiar with the challenges. And, you know, anything we've learned from what we do here in California can bring support to them to help them rebuild the community, it won't be the same. We want to, you know, emphasize that, you know, we can move things quickly, but the community is not going to be the same as it was before. But perhaps what positives can we build out of this to help people get back on their feet or rebuild their lives?
We here in California know this kind of disaster all too well. How much coordination goes on between federal, local, and state agencies? How much of it's going on right now? And who takes the lead in a scenario like this?
That's a really good question. And so all disasters are local, right? So they all start at the those closest to an incident. And so in this case, it's the sheriff of the county of Maui, the local responders there. They have an emergency management office like we do here in California. But of an incident this size and scale, the Federal Emergency Management Agency will have a very significant footprint in helping them, particularly for you know, a state like Hawaii, which is smaller in population than some cities here in California. And so I think, you know, that's one thing for folks who may be listening here in the Sacramento region not to take for granted of. There are probably as many first responders in Sacramento County as there are in the entire state of Hawaii. And so just the scope of what they're dealing with is very different than what we're used to. We have, you know, probably 15 to 70% of the first responders in the entire country here in our state. And so we're able to quickly move resources, where a place like Hawaii, it's smaller. just because the nature of it is more isolated. And so it's different. You know, you can't have fire trucks drive from one county to another to assist a fire like this. It's a more complex undertaking because you need planes or barges to move a lot of this equipment.
In the few seconds that we have left, let's switch gears. We have not had any huge wildfires so far this summer in California. As we know, that can change in a heartbeat. Heat is coming this week. What are you guys at the OES keeping your eyes on?
We're keeping our eyes closely on heat and the electricity grid, and we'd remind your listeners to keep an eye on, you know, loved ones, elderly, kids, pets who may be at risk with the heat, and wildfires still to come. This is an important reminder for people to sign up for alerts today, with a lot of conversation about alerts of what's happened in Hawaii, but getting on the list will help you with heat, will help you with wildfires, and you can sign up with your county. So that's a takeaway everyone can do right today.
Brian Ferguson is Crisis Communications Specialist for the California Department of Emergency Services. Brian, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And that's Insight for today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to managing editor R.M. Sarkissian. Our digital producers are Megan Minotta, Claire Morgan, and Chris Hagan. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. Our engineer is Antonio Muniz. Show music by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Mike Haggerty. For Vicky, we'll be back tomorrow.